Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, I've got to start the broadcast today by making a correction, because I said something in the broadcast yesterday that was not correct. Please forgive me. I'll tell you what it is in just a moment. But first of all, let me say that I also said that we would finish up our discussion of church discipline in the broadcast yesterday, and I'm not going to be able to do that either. I'm going to have to continue it today, number one, because the correction pertains to yesterday's broadcast, and then number two, because another passage that I wanted to deal with I did not get to yesterday. Now, yesterday we were looking at 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20 and this whole issue of church discipline, because the Standard Baptist Church Covenant has church members committing themselves to supporting the church in its worship, ordinances, disciplines, and doctrine. And it's that discipline part that is so misunderstood and neglected in our day. And so we were looking at the passage in 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, which some rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's excommunication language, as we learned by studying 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Anybody who is delivered unto Satan has been removed from the church and has been turned over to the adversary of our souls for judgment, for rough treatment. And there's a lot of implications here. One of the implications is that the church is a place of shelter, that while people are within the walls of the church, and I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the membership, the structure, they are in fellowship with the church, they are members in good standing with the church, then there is apparently a protection that keeps them from being manhandled, if I can use that word, by Satan. Sometimes we feel like we're being sorely tried, and we think that that's coming from Satan, and indeed it may be, but not in the same way. There is protection. You are safe. You are secure. You are sheltered. You are protected as a member in good standing of a local church, of the visible body of Jesus Christ. Another one of the reasons why we need to understand the importance and value of church membership all the more. But outside that structure, outside of that relationship, you're fair game for the adversary. And so Paul says, I have delivered Hymenaeus and Alexander to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul, as an apostle, had the authority to do that by himself. I don't. I can't deliver anybody unto Satan by myself, but the church can. The church can do that, and the church is called upon to do that when people stray outside the boundaries of bottom-line behavior, bottom-line Christian behavior, and bottom-line Christian doctrine. The church not only may do that, the church is supposed to do that. It is required to do that. It is called upon to do that as a means of restoring that person. Paul says here, I've delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. You see, even doing this has a restorative goal. We don't deliver them unto Satan so that we can see them destroyed eternally. We deliver them unto Satan, in other words, excommunicate them, put them outside of the church, in order that feeling the assaults of Satan, they may be brought to repentance and be asked to be restored, which, of course, if they acknowledge their guilt and seek the forgiveness of God and of the church, repent of their wrongdoing, they should be gladly received back into the church. back into fellowship, back into the place of protection, that they may learn not to blaspheme, to speak against sound doctrine. That's the point here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's not only that certain behaviors, adultery, fornication, public drunkenness, extreme covetousness to the extent of being an extortioner, a swindler, and these kinds of things, not only do those constitute disciplinary offenses for which people must be confronted and called to repentance, and if they will not, put outside the church, but those who stray outside of bottom-line orthodox Christian doctrine must be put outside the church. After all, if they're not going to believe what the church preaches, then they shouldn't be there anyway. If they're going to teach something contrary to what the church preaches and believes, then why should they call themselves Christians? Why should they want to be a member of this church? But of course, that's the way false teachers often are. They want that cloak. They want that cover. They want that respectability. They want that identity to carry out their mischief in disguise. And the church is required to deal with that. And if churches would, if churches had been faithful in this regard down through the years, and if churches would do this today, we wouldn't have the great apostasy in Christianity that we're dealing with today. Churches that are riddled with serious apostasy, serious false doctrine, but nothing's been done about it. And so they continue on in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, calling themselves churches founded at one time upon sound doctrinal statements, which they have long ago abandoned. But they continue on saying, we are Christians. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are no such thing. But the reason why we've got such great apostasy today is because somebody didn't do their job 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Somebody didn't do their job in disciplining members who strayed outside of bottom line orthodox teaching. And so now you're dealing with the results of failing to exercise biblically instructed church discipline. It is important. But the correction that I needed to make was concerning Alexander. I said concerning this Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom verse 20 Paul says, I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. I said that Alexander had taught error regarding the resurrection. That's not true. It's Hymenaeus who did that. I got him mixed up with Hymenaeus, and I couldn't find where that was, but I found it before I came to the microphone today. And here it is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Paul says, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. That's the Hymenaeus that Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:20, that some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, Paul's still dealing with them in 2 Timothy. Hymenaeus is still teaching unsound doctrine. Now, thankfully, not from within the church, but from outside the church. He started his own group. He started his own ministry. I don't know what he calls it. But he's no longer in the church that he was a part of, presumably the church of Ephesus. He's been removed from that. And that puts him outside the church, and that puts him in a place where he can be more easily identified and dealt with, and people won't be quite so easily deceived, but he's still teaching unsound doctrine, deceiving some. His being delivered unto Satan hasn't brought him to repentance yet. He's still out there. God is allowing him to do that for purposes that we'll have to leave in the hands of God. That's entirely up to him. But it was Hymenaeus who taught that the resurrection is past already. Apparently, was saying that, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the day when Christ returns and all the bodies of saints who lie in the ground will be raised to glorified bodies, I think it's pretty obvious that hasn't happened yet. So apparently what Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching is that there is no bodily resurrection. That the resurrection occurred when you were saved. That we're not to look for a physical resurrection, we're supposed to look for a spiritual resurrection. They spiritualized, apparently, the doctrine of the resurrection. They said there is no such thing as a time when the bodies of the saints will rise from the grave and will become glorified bodies and will rise to meet the Lord and be with him forever. No, no, no. You misunderstand the meaning of the resurrection. But when you were born again, then you were raised to newness of life. It's a spiritual resurrection. And, of course, there is a spiritual resurrection, but there's also a bodily resurrection. But to teach that the resurrection is past already, in other words, that believers have already been raised, it's past tense for you who are Christians. Your resurrection has already occurred. It's happened already. That is serious false doctrine that must be dealt with. Paul said, so serious that I put these guys out of the church and delivered them over to Satan, that they must learn not to blaspheme. Alexander was also disciplined because of false doctrine. We don't know exactly what it was he taught, but he was disciplined also for false doctrine, according to 1 Timothy 1:20. And Paul makes reference to him as well in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and talks about how he withstood the words of the Apostle Paul. So, does the Bible teach church discipline? It surely does. Does the Bible require church discipline? It surely does. Does the neglect of this doctrine of church discipline have any serious consequences? It surely does. The neglect of anything that the Bible teaches is always a serious matter, but this one, we can see how serious it is when you don't remove people from the church who are offending sound Christian behavior, then their sinful behavior infects others, as Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when you don't remove from the church people who are teaching serious error, serious false doctrine, then their false doctrine spreads to others. And that infects the church. And if that's not stopped, that's not confronted, that's not dealt with, nobody's willing to do the hard, difficult, and seemingly harsh work of church discipline, which really is not harsh at all. It's actually the most loving thing you can do. But sometimes true love is tough love. The greatest way you can really love your children is to discipline them when they need it. To fail to do that is not loving them. It is actually hating them. You're loving yourself more than you love your children. You don't want to hear them cry. You don't want them to dislike you. You are more concerned about yourself than you are about the welfare of your child. That is no true love. And it's the same thing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's no true love, to fail to deal with people according to the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.